We continue the shir. Sikhlei Saran, Sabenazal sayings, Seif Vej Zion, paragraph 207, with apologies for a case of laryngitis. Benazal says that at times, Benazal himself speaks to a person, to a Talmud, or to a stranger who comes to him for advice or for help. Benazal speaks to that person, and it would be expected that the words, such holy words coming from Deit Tzadik Emes, would take effect immediately. However, there are times when the words do not take effect immediately, but after a while, after a period of time. That period of time depends upon circumstances. But in the end, definitely, it will have the desired effect. This is comparable to a medicine. Person who is very ill, he takes a medication. Not necessarily does the medicine cure the person immediately, instantly. It could slowly work on the person until it takes effect or removes the illness in that person. But if the medicine is a really potent one, it will cure. So the Benazal's words too are definitely helpful. They definitely can take effect upon a person's spiritual illness. They will cure eventually, sometimes in a shorter period of time, sometimes in a longer period of time. But safe called safe. In the end, they will take effect. The person will be cured. Remember too, that when we say that Benazal speaks to a person, this means even today also. Benazal speaks to a person, these words in the Sefer, the Benazal sayings, are words that are spoken to each person directly. As you read these words, as you hear the Benazal's words, the Benazal sayings, it is as though he is speaking to you. So each person listening knows, must know, that this is a medicine for himself, for his neshama, which definitely will cure his neshama some a little later, some a little earlier. But if he takes it, if you swallow that medicine, if you listen to it, you accept it, it definitely will cure you. Benazal says too, not only does it cure that person who hears it eventually, but sometimes these words revolve, they move about, they are transferred from one to the other. Lahavdil, in a disease, you have a disease that's carried from one carrier to the next, contagious disease. Lahavdil abida teva, something good is much stronger, much more effective. So lahavdil, the words of the Benazal that are so holy, they can travel from one person to the next. The person who hears these words, who reads these words, can relate these to a second person, and that person to a third one, that one to a fourth one, until these words might not be needed by the first few. There is someone who needs this type of cure, this topic in which he is very weak in, he's very ill, he needs this cure, and eventually these words get to the person who needs it, and that person receives a cure through it, through these words. But it is something that the Benazal sent this message out. It was sent out to travel. Sometimes it's a long trip, a long journey. It goes from one to the other. It can go from one city to the next. Until it reaches its address, it comes to that person, and that person is affected by it and completely cured. But completely cured. Benazal said the Fetish that his words, his sayings, his sikhas, his tedos, his lectures that he gave, shiurim, were given not just to the group that was with him, not just to those talmidim around him, or those who came to his table, or those who came to his shiur, but they are also said clearly and explicitly for their children, children's children, for generations to come. Benazal was able to see very clearly the entire future in front of him. Surely, Benazal could see the next generation after his Astalkus, the generation afterwards, and see how these words will be repeated, transmitted from one Talmud to the next, from one group to the next, and they were intended as such. There's a pasuk in the Torah which says that Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jews, notify your children and your children's children the generations later, that the Torah you're receiving at Har Sinai is not just for this group of Jews here, not just for that nation at that time. It's meant for the Jewish peoples, for all generations to come. Same thing applies, Benazal said, for future generations also. Not just the Talmidim who surrounded him, but their children, and their Talmidim, and their grandchildren, and so on. So that when there is a shir of Benazal's words, it is meant in that manner that Benazal foresaw. It would be a shir in the second and third and fourth generation, these same words, it is as though the Ben Ezal himself is saying those words. A person learning the Ben Ezal's words, hearing the transmitting of those words, is getting them directly from the Ben Ezal because they were intended for that purpose. They were intended for all future generations until and after Mashiach's coming. Ben Ezal said too that after all, these words were made to save a person who has fallen into depth of bitterness, depth of depression, a black abyss, a pit of desperation, of having abandoned the Tanakh, Hashem Chas V'Shalom. It's meant to draw that person up, to bring him back, to raise, to elevate the person, bring him close to Hashem. That person is considered as though he was drowning in mud, drowning in quicksand. That person, the Shema, is dying. He's being saved, he's being hauled up. Ben Ezal says, da. Da means you should know, take this to heart, that if a time comes that these words are said to someone, and that person listens to these words, and he finds himself being drawn upwards. He finds himself going up, being dragged out of this quicksand. And anybody, anyone who will cling to that person will be drawn up too. That's how powerful these words are. The rope, the chain is so strong that it can pull a person up from the greatest depth, plus anyone attached to that person. So it's not just that the required tzaddikim is at that time, that you require a great Talmud Chacham, a great Goyim. The simplest person listens, absorbs, accepts these words, is drawn to them, all those close to him who are attached to that person too, also are being rescued at the same time. Therefore, we can stress so strongly the words of the Ben Ezal, something which is incredible, unbelievable, unacceptable by the world, yet we accept it, we believe it, Be'emun HaShlema, Tachlis HaShlemus. As difficult as it is for the mind to grasp this, we accept it without questions. We reaffirm our faith in these words. The Ben Ezal said there are very great tzaddikim in the world. There are very great Talmidei Chachamim in the world, and there are very small people in the world, practically illiterate, practically amanatzim, but simple and sincere. The greatest tzaddikim in the world, who are not mekusha to the tzaddik emes, they are not the tzaddikim amitiyim of that generation. The true tzaddikim in that generation are those who are truly, sincerely, mikusha to the tzaddik emes. So when a person says, who am I? I'm nothing. Look at these great Talmidei Chachamim, geniuses, Iluyim, Ge'inim, walking around. They're so well versed in all the different corners, the far recesses of the Torah Kedusha. How can I ever compare to them? And yet, if this person is mekusha to the tzaddik emes, the fact is that he is better off. He is better off because he is literally part of that tzaddik emes. And that will answer the question too. Powerful question. How come there are such great tzaddikim in the world? So pure, so refined, so perfect, such great lamdim, and who devote their time not to foolish items, but they spend their whole days and nights immersed in the study of Torah and Tefillah. How come they do not get to Rabbeinu Zalcion? How come such simpletons, say simpletons, really schlubs like us, who are we, what are we compared to some of the great gedolim of our time too? You see by the Rosh Yeshivas, Gaonim today, really deep lamdim, we know nothing compared to them. Why should we merit, why should we deserve to get to Rabbeinu Zalcion, which is the greatest achievement ever possible, anytime? The answer is that we are a tail. The word tail in Yiddish is a very insulting remark. You won't even mention that word. You want to speak about someone, a very low, degrading, derogatory term, use that word, Yiddish word for tail. A word worse than a schlub or a schlump. Worse than that, starts with a shin also. And yet, that word tail, being the tail of a lion, is still part of a lion. There's no way you can separate the two. And if you start with that tail, step on a lion's tail, you're going to have to deal with the lion's mane, the lion's crown, the lion's self. Whereas if you step on the head of a cat or a fox or a roach, so all you got is just that. That's the best he can do. What is that compared to a lion? Ahavdil. In this case, you have a fox, very wise animal. Wisdom galore. The head of a fox is surely wiser than the tail of a lion. And yet it's still only the head of a fox. There's no royalty to it. It's not a leader. In fact, it's hounded. A fox is hounded. There are hounds who chase a fox. So the heads, these great heads, geniuses, are still heads of foxes. No matter what they are, as great as they are, it is better to be part of a lion. Therefore, the tzaddikim amitiyim, each day, the Nosa Zal said, only, truly, those who are attached to Rabbeinu Zal. Those are the tzaddikim amitiyim of each day. And here we can understand it, what Rabbeinu Zal said, that even those who cling to the Talmidim of future generations, cling to those Talmidim, will also be helped. You have clear proof that the lion will help anybody, anyone attached to him. So much better off for those who are zecher to have this emuna shleima in the tzaddik emes. You need no greater proof than the realization, the experience of getting to Rabbeinu Zalcion, or getting to Rabbeinu Zal's yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. While others wander off to see the sights elsewhere, those close to Rabbeinu Zal go to the yeshiva in Yerushalayim, to Rabbeinu Zal's yeshiva, they go to Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim, to Rekocha Lev Zal Sion, because they are closely, truly attached to Rabbeinu Zal. Asherei to those who have this Emunah Shleima. Rabbeinu Zal said he dedicated himself to helping others. This means he must deal with the public. And yet, there was a certain shyness about Rabbeinu Zal and being seen or doing things in public that he abstained from. Whenever he did anything in public, he found it extremely difficult. It was very difficult for him. For example, to recite anything, to say, to be a Baal Tefillah, to be a chazan for the Amid. Rabbeinu Zal refused to do that at any time. To be a Baal Keder, read the Torah, that's reciting publicly. Or even a Baal Makri, so simple as to announce the Kedus of the Shofar, holiest day that Rabbeinu Zal says Rosh Hashanah. It's his day. The most important thing then is the blowing of the Shofar. Blowing of the Shofar has to have a Talmud Chacham, the Rebbe, announces the Kedus. so that there'll be no confusion, no question of which coil goes, whether it was done properly, whether it should be blown over again. You have the Rebbe, the Dov, who recites that. Simple few words, announcing whether it's Tekiyah, Shvarim Trua, or Shvarim alone, Trua alone. This slight action, being Ba Makri, Rabbeinu Zal abstained from that too, because it meant performing in public. Even when it came time for the Yahrzeit, his mother, Tzadikus, came time just to say Kaddish in public, Rabbeinu Zal found that it was so taxing, so trying, extreme difficulty he was able to do it. The only thing that he did in public was to make Kiddush for the Eilim, to say the Kiddush, the Mitzvah of the Eilim, and to say Torah, to give a shiur. It's the only thing that he did in public. And this, he did it with the utmost difficulty, the utmost self-sacrifice, the utmost energy expended to perform these things. Otherwise, he would refrain from any other item of public action. Benazal's Teda, of course, as we mentioned previously, was such depth that it contained all the wisdom that existed. Every Teda, we said, contains all of the Teda Shvik Sab and Teda Shvik Pep. At that time, there were Bali Machlekes, those who tried to rise up against the Benazal, as is the case in all generations. The Satan, the Baal Dover, tries to create dissension even among tzaddikim to hide the light of the greatest tzaddik. As we mentioned many times, Moshe Rabbeinu was surely the greatest tzaddik, unquestionably, and yet there were great wise men, Kodach B'Keach Hoyot. Kodach, the Gemara itself testifies to the fact that Kodach was a wise person, shrewd, extremely clever. Yet he too was misled to go and do battle, to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu. How could a person who's wise do that? Well, this is the work of the Satan, who devotes himself entirely to hide, to black out the greatness, the light of the Tzaddik Emes. All generations that way too, you find the case of Yosef HaTzaddik, who was surely the greatest of all the Tzaddikim, none of his brothers. These tzaddikim were all holy tribes, Shiftei Koh, Shiftei Yudkei, tribes of Hashem. They were blinded, misled, and led to do battle against Yosef HaTzaddik. Shaul HaMelech, who was so great a tzaddik, he never committed a sin. When he passed away, he was as pure as when he was born. And yet he too, one case, was misled to do battle against David HaMelech, led to believe that there was something wrong, that he was doing battle against something that was wrong, Chas V'Shalom, because this is the work of the Satan. The Satan is so powerful, he could penetrate into the hearts of the greatest and mislead them just to get the light of the Tzaddik Emes hidden. So naturally, the case of the Tzaddik Emes and the case of Rabbeinu Zal were very many machlekes. Great people, rebelled against Rabbeinu Zal, who tried to hide his great light, who tried to minimize his greatness. And a lot of things were said in those days. There were long series of machlekes. Rabbeinu Zal once spoke about one item, but people tried to show that Rabbeinu Zal's Teda was very great, very holy, but it was not his own, Chas V'Shalom. He had taken it from someone else. They said, we admit that his words of Teda are very high, very heavenly, but he shouldn't be given the credit for it, because he took it from someone else. From where? He inherited it from his grandfather. Rabbeinu Zal's grandfather was Rabbi Nachman Hori Denker Zal. Nachman Hori Denker Zal was one of the closest Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. He was a Kodesh, very holy tzaddik. In fact, his tziyan today is in Tveria. Very few have seen it, have gotten to it. Tveria, the old cemetery near Rabban and Kaliska, the other great tzaddikim, its special old cemetery in Tveria. He was so great that the story is brought in the Shvachim Baal Shem Tov. He was so great, direct descendant of David HaMelech, just as the Baal Shem Tov was, but he was on the Dukhra, male side. And he's so great that when it came to a question of a marriage, a shidduch between himself and the Baal Shem Tov as Mechutonah, Baal Shem Tov was his Rebbe Mufar, was a question whether the shidduch could be consummated, because he was a greater yichus than the Baal Shem Tov, the Nachman HaDinkezel. The rest of the story doesn't matter, this is just a sign to show how great he was. He was one of the closest Talmidim of the Baal Shem HaKadosh. This was Rabbeinu Zal's grandfather. People said, snagged him. I guess Rabbeinu Zal said, Rabbeinu Zal inherited his Torah, the Kutim Anan, from his grandfather. It wasn't his own words. He simply repeated what he learned from his grandfather. Rabbeinu Zal mocked these people and derided them for such foolish remarks. Because he said, surely the words that I say today are contemporary. They are of present days. A person looking into the words that I say will find they affect those around me. They're directed at my Talmidim. Many times we find in Rabbeinu Zal's words in the Torah things that pertain to items that occurred at that moment. For example, you have the case of, we just mentioned recently, the Torah which dealt with the Istalkus of Rabbi Yitzchak Zal. And that surely couldn't have been said by his grandfather, because there was nothing of that kind that happened in the past. Secondly, the Rabbeinu Zal said, how foolish are these statements, because if they were from his grandfather, and why weren't some of these phrases, terms, words, thoughts mentioned before, previously? They were never said, nothing similar was said by his grandfather. So how could it have been from his grandfather? He would have kept it a secret completely from the world. It would have come out. Some of those words would have come out. So therefore, obviously, this is all very foolish statements by them. Secondly, Rabbeinu Zal said, I assure you that if my grandfather, great Tzaddik Nachman Zal, would be here today, my grandfather Nachman Zal would hear my words, he would stand in amazement, astounded, amazed at the depth of my words. To him they'd be the greatest chidushim possible, more than his mind could ever take. This was said, of course, modesty, but in truth, the fact that Rabbeinu Zal was so much greater than the tzaddikim of the past. And this is without exception. Tzaddikim of the past generations were as great as they were. Rabbeinu Zal surpassed them in greatness, in wisdom, in depth, holiness, so that all these statements were extremely foolish statements, trying to belittle the tzaddikim, but they only showed the evil and the stupidity of those who made these statements. Rabbeinu Zal said too, there is a hint in the Gemara about this machlekes. The Gemara itself foretells the rimus, hidden words, about the fact that the machlekes in later generations between the tzaddik emes and his antagonists. The Gemara says that one of the great leading rabbis of the Gemara, his name was Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, of course, being one of the rabbis of the Gemara, had machlokes too. Machlokes in different types of halachas. For instance, you have machlokes in Yadav and Shmuel. The Gemara says that we are directed to Paskin to decide, like Yadav, whenever it comes to Isur, questions of kashrus, questions of things that are permissible or not. Unlike Shmuel, when it comes to matters, court matters, money matters, the case of Rav Nachman The Gemara says, the wording of the Gemara is Hilchasot Kedav Nachman Bedini. Laws like that Nachman, when it comes to Dini, Dini means court cases. But the word Dini, the Aramaic word Dini, means Machlekes. When there is Machlekes against Rav Nachman, the Gemara says, Hilchasot Kedav Nachman. No, the law remains like Rav Nachman. He is the one that is right, he is the victor, and all these Machlekes. Ben Ezel said, the Gemara referred this Beremes to himself. Hilchasot Kedav Nachman Bedini. He'll be Machlekes against the Tzadik Emes, against the Ben Ezel. The law, final word, the final decision in heaven, handed down is laws like Rav Nachman, the Ben Ezel, Bedini, and any Machlekes there is. To make this a Chazaka, the Gemara also uses a term later on where it says, well, prior to this, Gemara says that Tilchasot Kedav Nachman, Halacha Kedav Nachman, twice, referring to certain debates in the Gemara. And then Halacha Kenachmeni, Tilchasot Kenachmeni. Nachmeni was Abaye. Abaye was the adopted son of Rabba, Bar Nachmeni, but his real name was Nachmeni, so his name was changed to Abaye. So we explained once because he shouldn't mention his father's name. Rabbo's father's name was Nachmeni, so he couldn't call Abaye by his father's name. He called him Abaye. Well, Abaye means Obi. Hinta is his father. But the wording of the Gemara is Allahu Kedav Nachman, Allahu Kedav Nachman, Nechasak Nachmeni. Then it's like Rav Nachman, again like Rav Nachman twice. Top it off, Nachmeni also contains Ben Ezel's name. With the Yud, Yud is the Chochmah, wisdom, the crown. So this seals the fact that if ever there's Machlekes, if ever there's question, if ever there's doubt, if ever there's dissension, if ever there's disunity, argument of any kind, know that the Din is the final word, the ruling is like the Ben Ezel, he is the Tzadik Emes, his word is Chai V'Kayam La'ad L'Netzach. His word is Netzach, forever, eternally, because Ben Ezel's name is B'Gematria Netzach, which means victory, and means eternal, eternity. Ben Ezel said, too, that you cannot belittle this Machlekes. It's not that simple. You have even the biggest tzaddik, one of the biggest tzaddikim, who have Machlekes against them, they are in very grave danger. They just can't close their eyes to it, because when there is Machlekes, it causes extreme danger for that person. He becomes weakened, and different forces of evil can actually harm him. So, Bechlau, what is the main harm that comes to that person against whom there is Machlekes? He falls into certain bad typhus. Ordinarily, he could be strong against these typhus. Then when Machlekes comes upon him, they weaken his immunity, his defenses. He becomes susceptible, and he falls into these typhus to a small degree, to whatever degree, but it's very unhealthy. So therefore, these tzaddikim are in grave danger. Ben Ezel gives us a mushal as an example. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, we learned it recently too, that Shlomo HaMelech was mistalek. The Sanhedrin, the rabbis of the Gemara, who learned the Gemara, said that every Jew has a part in Elam Haba and Gan Eden. There are exceptions. There are certain kings who have no part in Gan Eden. And they wanted to list Shlomo HaMelech as one of those kings. They were chaylik against him to such extent that King Solomon himself lost his Gan Eden. Period. He's one of those who did not get Gan Eden. The Gemara says that David HaMelech rose up at the heavenly court, began to argue with them. He began to defend the battle for his son, Shlomo HaMelech. It was a very long, serious battle until he finally won. He finally won out on this battle, but we see that through the Machlekes against Shlomo HaMelech, he became so weakened that it was difficult for him to defend himself. As great as he was, Shlomo HaMelech, Shalom Shalei, the word Shlomo HaMelech means Shalom. Lamesha, he had a Nitzus of Lamesha Rabbeinu in him, yet because of this machlokes he became so weakened that he could not defend himself completely. It was only with the assistance, with the forceful assistance of David HaMelech, that he was rescued. That's how one who has machlokes against him is in sakona, in danger. Only real defense against the Balei Machlokes is when a person has true Yirat Shamayim. He has sincere fear of Hashem, respect for Hashem's words. That is the only thing that can stand up against defense against Balei Machlokes. When a person has Machlokes, he must know then, be careful of committing sins. Because sins means the absence of Yirat Shamayim. Be careful of Taivas, be careful of Avedis. Strengthen yourself with Yirat Shamayim. You'll be able then to stand against all Balei Machlokes. Leinenel said, revealed something that is very controversial, and which especially affects those close to Yitzhak Emes. Sometimes there's a problem, a person has a problem as to whether he should perform a mitzvah or not if there is a lot of difficulty involved, if there are obstacles that seem insurmountable, if there is opposition whereby it could cause so much friction that it would embitter his life. Chas v'shalom. What is he supposed to do? Simplest case, of course, is if you have the opportunity to ask advice of the Tzaddik Emes. Ask the Tzaddik Emes, there's a mitzvah that I'm supposed to perform. I have not been to Eretz Yisrael yet. Now, that mitzvah is so great, Rabbi Nizal said, a person cannot be classified as the Ish Yisraeli, as a real Jew, until he has taken those four steps in Eretz Yisrael. But I have financial difficulties, difficulties at home, family difficulties, health difficulties. There would be such repercussions. I could lose a job. I could lose the wife threatens with divorce if I leave the house and go to Israel. I could lose my self-respect in the community. There's danger in general in the trip. Should I make this trip? This is the question posed to the Tzaddik Emes. Leinenel says, now the question is, what is the Tzaddik Emes supposed to reply to this? The answer is, the Tzaddik is supposed to, he is forced to tell this person, you're excused, don't do it. If it requires that much mesidas nefesh, so much self-sacrifice, the Tzaddik Emes is compelled to say to this person, don't do it. Don't make these sacrifices. Don't give up your job, your home life, peace at home, your health problems. Don't make the sacrifice. Don't do the mitzvah. For example, going to the Minazal Siyan. A lot of sacrifice involved. Questions involved. There's danger. There are risks involved. Today, not that many, but in the old days, there were actually risks to a person's life. You could get shot going there, Chas v'shalom. Other things that could happen. Or in the days of Rabbi Nizal, you go visit Rabbi Nizal himself. If there was difficulty involved, should he make that trip? Rabbi Nizal said the reply, if anybody asks, the answer is no. The answer is no, not I advise you, don't do it. The answer is I order you not to do it. Now, Rabbi Nizal added, this is the explosive statement. When the Tzaddik Emes says to a person, I order you not to perform this mitzvah, that's itself as a mitzvah. The person is being told by the Tzaddik Emes, do not do this item. What is the next step? And also the next step is that this person is not supposed to obey the Tzaddik Emes in this case. We're speaking about the Tzaddik Emes. And Tzadik Gemara says, do not perform this mitzvah with so much mesidas nefesh. You are exempt, you are excused, you are free. You don't have to come to me. You don't have to go to Israel. There's too much self-sacrifice. Does it mean this person now is bound to listen to the Tzadik Gemara? The answer is no. That person is not required to listen. He's not required to obey, even when ordered by the Tzadik Gemara. Imagine this case where you may disobey a command by the king. Nesadel says, this is not a positive statement. It is not certain whether the Rabbein Ezel made this statement. Yes, there are those who heard the Rabbein Ezel say it. They thought they heard it. They were not sure. There is a debate among the Rabbein Ezel's Talmidim as to what was actually said. No one followed this up to make certain. The debate is that some say, if the Rabbein Ezel says don't do a certain thing, Chas v'Shalom, they go against the Rabbein Ezel's word. He says don't perform this act. Rabbein Ezel's command is greater than the act itself. That is the mitzvah now. Don't do it. If you don't, you're performing the mitzvah itself. Mitzvah l'shmei devarei chacham. One exception only. Greatest act possible, Rabbein Ezel said himself. Rabbein Ezel testified. Biggest act that a person can perform ever is to come to me for the Rosh Hashanah, because the Rosh Hashanah is above all else. Nothing compares to the Rosh Hashanah. Even I myself, with all my powers, whatever I can do for a person, whatever I can accomplish for a person, is nothing compared to what I can do for him on the Rosh Hashanah. That's higher than anything else. So only then, if a person asks me, should I come for the Rosh Hashanah? And I have so much opposition at home. There's so much sacrifice. Leave my house for Yom Tov. Should I come? If I tell that person, don't come, then he should not listen. This specific mitzvah is so great. Come to me, even if it means true mesidas nefesh, actual self-sacrifice. Don't even listen to the word of the Tzadik Gemara. So therefore, it would seem to us very clear, would seem. We cannot be the one to judge in this case. We can only warn that I've seen the imminent dangers in this statement. Very dangerous statement. Because there are some people who immediately leap upon the first words and they say they have a license to do anything. And they also said, you're not listening to Tzadik Emes. You don't have to listen to any Rebbe then. Surely so. If a Rebbe says, disobey him. If you think you're doing a mitzvah, listen to nobody. You're a free agent. This is a poisonous concept. Certainly, without question, is not what the Rebbein Ezel said or ever intended, Chas v'Shalom. Because the Ikud is mitzvah l'shmei devarei chachamim. Surely, as Rebbein Ezel says, second statement, Yesh Emunah, where Rabbein Ezel said this refers only to going to the Rabbein Ezel for the Shoshana. But whatever else, these words, whatever else the Tzaddik commands, that must be fulfilled. This was said by the Rabbein Ezel, the second one. We have a klal that when two statements are made, it is the second one that is the halacha, in most cases. So in this case, it's very obvious that the dangers existing, emanating from the first statement as such, surely it's the second statement that should be taken as lamaisa. In any event, even if it was the first statement, it gives no person the right to judge for himself what he could do haphazardly without consulting any other, any Rebbe, any advisor for permission to perform an act that may be dangerous and may be forbidden. Lamaisa, again, it would seem that we are not great enough to judge and to destroy the entire basis, the aside of receiving accepting the words of our superiors, the words of our rabbis, the words of the gedolim of the former generations, whatever they say you must accept. This is the father and mother of the Jews, Ali, Ali the Chachamim, Tzadikim. Their words must be accepted and taken. Only the question of Shon itself, that we can understand. That's the greatest thing possible. Ben Azal said, explain this elsewhere, that when a person asks Ben Azal, I can't come for the Shoshana, Ben Azal feels very hurt. This Ben Azal explained in detail. He was very much hurt. He suffers at the fact this person cannot come, and he feels more hurt that he must say to the person, don't come. But in his heart, he really means, come. I cannot tell you to come. I'm telling you don't come, but know that in my mind and heart, I wish you would come. So even in a case like that, he is not disobeying the Tzadikim, because the Benazel himself made clear that his mind and heart was to say, do come, regardless of the sacrifice. This would clarify again the fact that the second Yesh Eminem, Yigin Acher, is the one that's obviously the right one. We should be zecher to accept that every word of the Tzadikim is without question, about our mind completely, and that's chus, of course. This is what's meant by true bittul to the Tzadikim and true iskashus. Meanwhile, I'll say that Rosh Hashanah is the main day of the year. Ikar is Rosh Hashanah, above all else. Despite the fact that some say Yom Kippur is greater and so on, Ben Azal said, by me, the biggest is Rosh Hashanah. And if people ask Kashis why, so the answer is very good. The answer is you have a Kasha. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You're not required to understand everything. If I tell you something, you have a Kasha about it, good. You don't understand everything I say, fine. All the better. Except without understanding, you'll have much more credit. I state very emphatically that Rosh Hashanah is the ikar of all, above all else, yet the other Rosh Hashanah, and that's why along the Breslava, the most important day that exists, the most important yuta that exists for getting together is Rosh Hashanah. It's the one time when everyone is mechuyav to make every sacrifice possible, not to allow himself to daven elsewhere, away from the Ben Azal's minyan, because the Ben Azal said clearly, wherever you'll be together, no matter where it is, any place, any the furthest corner of the world, I'll be there together with you for the Shoshana. That is the Shoshana. Ben Azal said too that Erev the Shoshana is also a major point. The Ben Azal, Erev the Shoshana was so great, it's the last day of the year, it covers the entire year. Ben Azal stated that my Erev the Shoshana, which is not Yentiv yet, is far greater than the Rosh Hashanah of all the other tzaddikim. I accomplish more Erev Rosh Hashanah than others accomplish on Rosh Hashanah itself. That's why the minig was in Oman, those who came, those who were zecher to come to Oman, Rosh Hashanah, these past generations, come there, would assemble there, many at great risk. My father, Sean, was there for 19 years, from succession, many times risking his life to get there. Many Jews were killed in the process of this journey. He was there to get there constantly. He spoke about this great zechus davening with the minyan, the Ben Azal's minyan, the Ben Azal's shul, both days of Shoshana. But the custom was, on the Shoshana, of course, you don't go to visit a grave on Yom Tov. The custom was to go to the Ben Azal's seer Ed of the Shoshana, say the 10 Kapitel Chtum, Tikkun HaKloli, and that's why that day is the most important day of the year, saying the Tikkun HaKloli. Most important time ever to get to the Ben Azal seen as Ed of the Shoshana, because the Ben Azal himself said, Ed of the Shoshana, there's a special mitzvah to give a pidyon. Pidyon means to give money to redeem his soul. Can there be a greater pidyon possible than a person coming to the Ben Azal seen, and there giving the tzedakah according to the Ben Azal Savor. Therefore, the most important day to get the Ben Azal Sion is Erev Rosh Hashanah, to give the tzedakah there, to say the Tikkunot Klali. Then the Tfilis said in Uman, the Benazal Shul. We should be Zecha be Emes. We make Kusha to the Benazal with all our might and forever afterwards. Be together with the Benazal at the Amun HaShleima, the Schus of this Amun HaShleimus. We should be Zecha to see the coming of Mashiach Zikenu, Binyan Beis HaMikdosh, Yeshua Claudius, the entire Klal Yisrael, or Netzach, whoever, Schus Netzach, Schus Yisrael Kemes, Amen, Amen.